I'm Jerry Arakawa, Kalua president, and I want to welcome every one of you, all of you here. We are fortunate to have Mr. Michael Marland. He will be speaking shortly, and he, to get you all interested, he said he's brought some interesting equipment up here, and he wants to have some time so that you guys can come up to the head table and take a look at it. Okay, so enjoy your meal, and we'll be with you shortly. We have a quick announcement from Marlene O'Neill, president of BRLC, if I could have your attention for 1 minute.
Thank you, everybody. It sounds like this is a great turnout. As Jerry said, I'm the president of BRLC. My name is Marlene O'Neill, and I have an announcement to make. BRLC, we always contribute to what is called the Braille Challenge. And the Braille Challenge is for kids who, you know, they compete all over their country. And whoever is selected goes to Los Angeles, and they enter all these contests for spelling, reading, and speed. And they can range anywhere from 8 or 9 to 19 years old. And what the money goes towards is their transportation to go to this event. And so we would really appreciate it if the people who wish to can contribute, because it would go a long way into helping someone, a talented student, to go to the Braille Challenge at the Braille Institute in Los Angeles. And John Ross will be coming in at about 20 to 1, and he'll just sort of walk around and just tap you on the shoulder to see if you would be willing to contribute. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Thank you, Marlene. a worthy cause indeed. Okay, we are very fortunate to have with us this afternoon Michael Marland from the State Library.
All right. Good afternoon, CCB folks. Great to be here, and great to be at the Kahlua Library Users of America, some of whom may drink Kahlua, I don't know. You've probably heard that joke a million times. my name is Mike Marlin, and I manage the Braille and Talking Book Library, which is here in Sacramento. Some of the folks from this convention were there yesterday, and it was a madhouse, but hopefully everyone had a good time. I think it was really instructive to show the other sections of the library that, you know, that there are a lot of blind and low vision users out there who are out there, because a lot of times people go, they know that there is a blind library community, but they don't. It helps them to actually see it in the flesh. So thank you all for coming out. The California State Library is the sort of, I guess you could call it, the parent organization for the Braille and Talking Book Library. We are a section within the California State Library, but we're also a regional library for the National Library Service. We are one of two in the state. The Braille Institute, which I know some of you folks are familiar with, which is down in Los Angeles, is the other regional library. And each of the regional libraries also has sub-regional libraries. For us here in Northern California, we have one in Fresno through the Fresno Public Library, and they serve four counties, and I can never remember them. I know Fresno, Tularis, King, and Madera, maybe. And then we also have a sub-regional library at the San Francisco Public Library, which services citizens of San Francisco County, which is really San Francisco. So we serve about 15,000 people in 43 counties in Northern California, which is a huge geographical area, as you can imagine. And so most of our business is through the mail, which is the free matter for the blind. And that should continue ad infinitum, we hope. I guess there are so many different things that we do, and I could talk about, but I have a feeling that most people are pretty curious about the Digital Talking Book Program. And so let me talk about that for a little bit. I happen to have with me two prototypes of the NLS Digital Talking Book Machine. I have them up here. Maybe what I'll do is I'll talk about the program, where we are, what the next few months looks like, what the next year looks like, and then do a very quick demonstration, a lightning fast demonstration, and then anyone has any questions, and or people can feel free to come up to this rectangular table at the back of the room here where I'm standing and play with the machines. I'm going to stick around, I think, for a little bit, too, after this, if they don't kick us out of the room, so for folks can have an opportunity to play with them. Can everyone hear me okay? Okay, great. So, let's see. Right now, all the contracts for the digital talking book machine and digital cartridge production have all been signed and are underway. Production has begun, which is a good thing. We didn't know... we knew that 2008 was the projected rollout year, and indeed, last year, the production of all this equipment did actually begin, but it didn't really go into full throttle until now. The talking book player weighs 2 pounds compared to the cassette talking book machine, which weighs 7 pounds. And it's a little bit smaller, too, in terms of its dimensions. So you can imagine how much more portable these are. Not portable such as a Victor Reader Stream or an Icon or one of the third-party commercial players that are out on the market now, but much more portable to throw in a backpack or carry from room to room without feeling like you're lugging a suitcase full of bricks. So that's one nice new development. And, of course, the sound quality is a lot better. I'll just digress for just a minute. The cassette book machines, production on those ceased in the end of 2007. So there have been no new cassette book machines produced. And NLS did have some foresight, which is good, and they did buy parts so that we could continue to repair and refurbish those machines for the next couple of years. And they are continuing with cassette book production as well, although they are scaling back a little bit each year. So that by the end of 2011, there will no longer be any new cassette books being manufactured. It will be entirely digital book production. Right now, that encompasses about 2,000 titles a year. So, and that's not including Braille. That's just talking books. So one of the things we want to reassure folks about is that, yes, you may keep your cassette player for as long as you like, and as long as we're able to replace one if it stops working or whatever. However, we don't really have the wherewithal to keep everybody supplied with a working cassette machine beyond the next few years, because in reality, it's a fleet of aging machinery, and it's breaking down right and left, and I'm sure some of you know what I'm talking about. We in Northern California are doing our best to keep up with the demand, but it's not easy. And this is always a complication when you're transitioning from one medium to another. I was very young at the time, but I believe if there are any folks who are over 39 in the room, may have remembered the transition from record players to cassette machines and some of the complications that arose. So again, we ask your indulgence and your patience while we're going through this transition period. One of the things I neglected to mention, I know some of you know this, is that I too am legally blind, and so I've been a patron of this service for many, many years, in addition to being a librarian. So I know some of the issues that people face. Not all of them. Nobody can, obviously. Back to the digital talking book machines. The cartridges, cartridge production began in 2008. Let me back up a little bit. The digital files, in other words, digital recording began back in 2004, which is when NLS announced that 2008 would be the beginning year for the digital talking book program. And what that means is that any book that's been recorded by NLS since then is now available in a digital computer file and is thus fairly easy to manage. Many of those books are, in fact, I think all of them, are up on a pilot website. And is there anyone, are there folks here who have been utilizing the download site? Okay. So, and in addition, NLS has made some of the retrospective collection, in other words, pre-2004, have converted them to digital files so that production of digital cartridges of some of the classic books from out of the collection of almost 70,000 titles since 1934. Actually, it's more than that because some of those titles are before the 70,000 are on record only, on long playing record, and weren't even transitioned to cassette. So it's a lot more than that. It's probably more like 100,000 titles. Anyway, we've got about 13,000 of those titles now with the new stuff since 2004, counting for about two-thirds, and another the additional one-third being from retrospective titles. And libraries were all asked to select copies for production, and those we should be getting those later in the year as well. So we're hoping that we're going to have ample books for people who will be getting digital machines, and that will increase over time. One of the nice things that happened in the last few years, and actually is continuing as we speak, is that the price of flash memory is coming down. So these cartridges are coming down in price. They're still not as inexpensive as we would like them to be, but now it's, we'll be able to have more copies of books than we thought we would have. So that's a good thing. The plan is that there's going to be what's called a pre-launch program. There are eight libraries that have been selected from around the country, two from each quadrant of the country, to test drive the new equipment. And for the West Coast, the Braille Institute was selected, and they will receive enough players and books to supply 5,000 patrons. And how they're choosing the patrons, I don't know. ask them. But the idea is that digital machines will be sent out to folks. I think there are 52 titles that are being made available on cartridge, and then the idea is for people to report back any problems they might have and troubleshoot any kind of technical issues that might ensue from all this. Hopefully everything will go smoothly. That is slated to begin in probably the last week of April or the first week of May. And that process, we anticipate, will take up to 2 months, but may not take that long. If there are no problems, no glitches, maybe it'll be sooner than that. And once that two-month process is completed, then we will begin distribution of digital talking book machines to patrons at large. And for our state, each library, let's see, the way that they've done it is they base the distribution, the monthly distribution is based on readership. So Braille Institute has, I think, about 30,000 patrons. We have 15. It's about a 2-to-1 ratio. We'll get close to, I think, 1,000 machines for the first 6 months. And from that, we'll begin distributing them to folks. The Library of Congress is following the federal mandate, as it's always been with NLS, is that the United States veterans receive preference for service, and which is great. They deserve it. So hopefully, I don't know how many veterans Braille Institute has. We have about 1,500. And so assuming that every single one of those veterans wants a player, we anticipate probably being able to serve those folks in about 2 months, and after that start distributing them to the patronage at large. And for Northern California, after many heated staff meetings and people representing their different contingencies, we opted to just do a random drawing each month and send out to folks who come up on that list. We also conducted a survey, which I know some of you participated in, with our fall newsletter, and asked folks whether they wanted to be on the digital player list right away or if they'd be willing to wait a little while. And so surprisingly, there are a lot of folks who don't mind waiting, and there are some people who don't want one of these new machines. And people, for whatever reason, are set in their ways. What I'm hoping is that as these begin to disseminate out into the general population and people see how easy they are to use, that everyone's going to want one. And they really are. The player itself is very similar to the cassette machine in terms of the keys being a rewind, fast forward, play. Play is a big square button, rewind, and I'm a bit colorblind myself, so I shouldn't talk too much about the color scheme, but there's a right arrow for rewind, a left arrow for rewind, right arrow for fast forward. Each button is brailled, which is not by a letter code. So Rewind has, oh, it's a P. P for previous and N for next. P for play. What else do we have? S for sleep. There's a sleep mode on these. If you, actually, why don't I turn one of these on? Because it's probably easier to talk about that way.
Player on. Volume maximum to increase
okay.
the volume by one step.
This is this. There are, one thing I should mention is that there NLS has decided to produce two models of the digital talking book machine, one a basic model and an advanced player. The advanced player has an extra row of buttons, which allows for further navigation, and also has the ability to bookmark. The basic player is just your basic player. There are when you turn on the machine, which I just did, if there's no book inserted into this machine, then it becomes an instruction mode. So, for example,
play, stop. To start or stop playing a book, use the large play stop button. When the book is playing, press this same button to stop the player.
Anyway, I won't bore you with these long, detailed instructions for each key. But suffice it to say that, again, for somebody who's not familiar, it's really easy. All you have to do is hit a button to find out what it does. This will eliminate the instruction tape that you used to get with your C1 machines. Let's see. And I said there's a sleep function. There's speed. Obviously, you can raise and lower the speed.
Volume. Maximum.
Volume.
Increase the speed up. To increase the reading speed by one step, press the speed up button.
And these buttons are really easy to use. The unfortunately, the screen reader users will understand this complaint. You cannot increase the speed when you're in instruction mode. So, but once you put the book in, you can. And I know that there's going to be lots of questions, so let me try to speed through this, and then we'll take questions. And okay, I've got a book in my hand. If folks want to come up afterwards, then you can see what the cartridge looks like. Basically, it's a piece of plastic. It's a little bit smaller than a cassette, in slightly different dimensions. It has a hole on the end of it that you could put your finger through, so that it's for dexterity challenge folks. It's really easy to hold on to. If you drop it, it's real easy to find and pick it up. There's only one way that the book can go into the player, which is nice, so not too much fumbling with that.
No idle hands. The social history of American knitting.
Current yes, position.
Library of Congress annotation.
Time remaining, 16 hours.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Lifelong knitter, anecdotal now.
This machine has the ability to find out where you are in the book, just like the Victor Stream. So you can find out how much time has elapsed, how much time is remaining. And also, it will tell you how much time is left in terms of the battery charge, which is another nice thing. And in fact, just so you get an idea of this.
Power. Battery charge remaining. Greater than 27 hours. Battery powered.
So,
press this power button to
if you plug these in, charge them for about an hour, then you'll have about 30 plus hours of charge time. This is a great, obviously a vast improvement to the cassette players. These things are supposed to last a long time, and it is our sincere hope that you take good care of them, and I know you will, and try not to get too much peanut butter inside them. In all seriousness, though, let's see, I'm looking for my other book. And I'm going to insert the other cartridge that I have into the advanced machine and show you just a little bit of navigation. Bear with me for 1 second.
Insert chapter one. Republicans and Democrats.
I happen to have here one of the few commercial books that NLS has transferred to our format. And this, I've got The Audacity of Hope, which is narrated by Barack Obama. It's one of the ones they gave me. So it's kind of fun to listen to. You can hear him in his own voice.
On most days, I enter the Capitol through the basement. A small subway train carries me from the Hart office building.
And as you can see, I've got
through an underground tunnel lined with flags and seals of the 56.
Increase the speed.
Past bustling sappers, maintenance crews, and the occasional
slow down the speed.
To the bank of old elevator.
The play button serves as a stop button or a pause button, if you will. With navigation, this will come in real handy for things like cookbooks, for example, where you may have many subsections to a chapter on barbecuing, for example, and then within those sections you might have recipes. You may have subsections of lists of ingredients, for example. So
chapter, jump.
The top row buttons on the advanced player, there's a navigation or a menu button. There's a brailled M. There's a P and an N for previous and next. And there's a B for bookmarks, so you can, for example, like play a book.
Takes me to the second floor. Stepping off, I will have a swarm of press that only get
there. A bookmark
there.
Here.
Say hello to the Capitol Police and Secret Service agents.
Bookmark inserted and enter.
So you can insert a bookmark and then say you're trying to take notes for school or whatever, you can go back to that bookmark. I believe you could store up to 1,000 bookmarks on these machines, and the player will remember the bookmarks from the book that you've inserted, even after you take it out and listen to another book. So the bookmarks get stored on these machines. Another nice feature of these. What else? I won't do too much more demonstrating because it takes up a lot of time. But for those of you who would like to come up afterwards and take a look, get your hands on them, please do. But one other thing I should mention is that on the side of these machines, there is a USB port. And right now, you can download books from the NLS site and put them onto a flash drive and listen to them on this machine. Right now, the machine only has the ability to listen to one book at a time, which in whatever the first book that you've loaded onto this flash drive, that's what it'll pick up. I know that NLS is working on ways to see if the player could detect multiple books on a flash thumb drive, but at this time, that's not the case. Anyway, so that's another thing. If you're waiting for a book from the library, for example, you can download a book onto your thumb drive and listen to it on this machine. Also, MP3 files can be played on this machine, as can DAISY 2 files. And my understanding is that NLS is working with RFBND so that RFBD patrons will be able to get a key sent to them by RFBND and download it to this machine so that you can play RFBD books on these machines as well. I don't know how far along they are with that, but I know it's coming. Let me just mention a couple other things, and then I'll take questions. Jerry asked me to remind folks that we do have a cassette recycling program for Northern California patrons. It's not so much that we have a program, but we are willing to send used cassettes to that program. We would ask that people not send us 1,000 cassettes at once, please. You know, just a few at a time, or 10 or 20, but not 800, please, because they'll sit there until we have time to process them and get them sent off. But there is a service, I believe, it's somewhere in the Midwest, I believe, so that's a good thing. The other programs and services, as far as downloadable books, hopefully some of you folks are familiar with the Unabridged program. And the Unabridged is a consortium of 10 states. 10 states within the National Library Service who contract with Overdrive Media, and we have a subset of books on our audiobooks that can be downloaded. And as opposed to NLS books, you can download and listen to Unabridged content on your computers. And, of course, you can transfer them to your portable players and listen to them that way as well. We also, and I think Braille Institute, someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know if they have described audio yet, but we just got a grant to purchase described movies and television programs. And over the next year, we'll begin collecting those and distributing them to folks, just like other regular library materials through the mail. So I'm very pleased about that. And so keep your ears peeled for that. And other things to mention are outreach, that we do go out and talk to groups of potential as well as existing library patrons. And if you have a group that meets, whether it's a consumer group or some sort of affiliate group, senior center, we are in touch with almost all the unified school districts. But if we've missed one and you have a school and you have eligible users or potential users or their parents, get a hold of us. We'll try to come out. Due to the current budget situation, some of you may have heard about this. I don't know. But the state of California is experiencing a bit of a financial shortfall, although we did balance the budget. I guess what I'm trying to say is we are short-staffed at the moment. We are working on... We are going to be hopefully hiring another librarian in the coming months. We did get that vacancy cleared to hire, but we've been sort of on a quasi-hiring freeze, and we're just trying to keep up with basic services with getting books out to you folks. And we ship out about 3,000 items a day. So it's a fairly hefty process that we go through. Let's see. I mentioned some services. Well, like I say, I tend to ramble because there's a lot of things to talk about. So why don't I stop for a minute and see if there are any questions from the audience. The question's about Bookshare,
no,
right? Oh, it's not about Bookshare. Oh, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Right. Okay, I got it. Yes, the question is, are there chapters? Is it easy to delineate chapters? And the answer is yes. When I talked about the retrospective collection being converted to digital format, what happened is that some of the older books, because of the way they were recorded in analog format, when they got transferred to digital files, it's because they were not able at the time to go through and insert chapter navigation. I think the majority of them are, but other forms of navigation, like sections within books, and I know what you're talking about because I've read some books where I had to fast forward and rewind through the book, and it was frustrating. So there are some books out there that, for whatever reason, navigation was not inserted when a conversion was made. But with the books that we have now that are being produced, I was going to try to show you chapter
jump.
You can jump from chapter to chapter.
Chapter 2. Chapter 3. Chapter 4.
Just like on a Victor stream. And you can also, believe...
Chapter. Jump. Phrase. Jump.
Yeah, just like the Victor stream, if anyone's used
jump.
It.
Chapter. Jump.
So, it really depends on the...
Chapter 3.
The
or constitute.
Stop that, Barack. Okay. It really depends on the navigation inserted at the time of the recording process. Hopefully that answers your question a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a really good question. How does the library determine who gets the basic versus the advanced? I was hoping nobody would ask that. this is a concern we expressed to NLS, and we told them, why don't you just make all advanced players? You know, I mean, anybody can not use the second row of navigation. Well, call NLS. I keep telling them this keeps coming up. I don't know. I think that they felt that there are people out there who are not experienced technology users who would be intimidated. What NLS has told us is that they are going to produce 80% of the machines will be the basic machines and 20% advanced, and that number can be attenuated at a future date based on library feedback. So once the program starts, the more and more people who start asking for them, and the fewer that we have, I think we can provide that feedback to NLS. To answer your question directly, I think it's going to be the luck of the draw. Like, your number comes up, you said you want a player, we're going to send you one, and if you come back and say, well, I really want the advanced one, we'll say, okay, we'll give you, as soon as we get one in, we'll give you a call, we'll do the exchange, because otherwise, I think it's going to be too difficult for us to keep track of the requests, considering we don't know exactly how many we're going to be getting each month, and what percentage of those, presumably 20%, will be advanced. So that seems to me the fairest way to take care of it, and I'm certainly open to feedback, too, so... Yeah, so?
I also wanted to ask about the processes themselves. Like, mm-hmm. The organization is like all of them.
Good question. Questions about blank cartridges. Yes, the North Coast Corporation, they're down in, I think, Santa Barbara, I'm not sure. They're the ones who are producing the cartridges, and they're producing blank cartridges because Libraries need them for duplication purposes and also for being able to put their own locally recorded material onto cartridges. So they are going to be made available, I think, for the general public through the APH, and there's another and one other organization, and I'm blanking out who that is. I don't know what the cost is. It's going to be based on flash memory, so that organizations could buy it, could buy them. Although, and as far and so the, I mean, yeah. So if people wanted to burn a book, download a book, and burn it onto a cartridge rather than onto USB, sure. They are. They may be cost prohibitive for some people because they're going to be anywhere between $6 and $9 per cartridge, whereas a blank cassette costs about 19 cents. So, but yes, they will be available. And thanks for bringing that up, because that's one thing I forgot to mention earlier, which is that for the libraries that can afford it, which is most libraries, but not all of the, some of the smaller libraries have tighter budgets, won't be able to duplicate on demand the way they've been able to do with cassettes, which means a lot more interlibrary loans going on between libraries. And in some cases, it remains to be seen how this is going to work. You know, we have our foundation has graciously granted to buy us the duplicating equipment that we're going to need and supplies of cartridges, so that for titles that either we don't have enough of due to popular demand, or we don't receive from our copy allotment, which we have a quota that we have to keep under each month, and we're not able to select every single retrospective title, especially some of the ones where there might be only small call for them, you know, maybe some book on Kierkegaard philosophy. Although I recommend everyone read Kierkegaard, don't get me wrong. But anyway, so that hopefully answers your question. So, somebody in the back? Though I know that they're not going to be able to do all of them. They don't have the resources to do that. But I think their plan is, I mean, they have already done two retrospective allotments for libraries, and they're planning to do another one at the end of this year and another one again in 2010. So they are adding titles little by little, but not the entire collection, which you can request books. Again, I think that... yeah, sure. You can contact NLS. You know, you can go on their website. You can call them. You can let us know, and we'll pass along your requests. You know, it'll depend on their staff and their resources, what their budget is. I've been impressed by, you know, the fact that they've already done about 4,000 out of 70,000 titles, so or 68,000 titles. So I know that seems like a small percentage, but considering just in the past few years they've been able to do that. And I think it'll depend on resources. And the reason why I say that is because once we get not just this economic downturn that we're in now, but just the budget that was requested by NLS to launch the Digital Hawking Book Program, about $76 million. Once these first 4 years have come and gone, then I think it'll be easier, I'm hoping, for NLS to go back to Congress and go, okay, program's established. How about $20 million to do retrospective books, you know, and we'll see. And so that may be the way it goes. No, it's Utah is the other library out in the West. Yeah. Not for this pre-launch program. No, that's only Braille, I believe, that you borrow from Utah. Yeah, no, this is strictly digital talking books. This is just a 1 to 2 month pilot program. I love the Denver's library, by the way. It's a wonderful library. Yeah, veterans and 100-year-old plus folks. Yes, we are going to provide veterans and 10 squared folks right away. They come first. That's what we call them. That's what NLS has dubbed our centenarians. 10 squared. No, not students. No, I didn't say students. No. No, and by the way, I should say that at least for Northern California, and I don't know what Braille Institute's doing, so contact them, but with the way we initially garnered people's interest in getting a machine was through the survey, which we got a wonderful response from. About 2,800 people responded, which is amazing. But now, if you want one, you can give us a call. Let us know. We'll put you on a list for the random drawing. We were hoping that as we go through names, that we would be able to call people and say, do you still want one? But I think that the reality of, even though we have lots of volunteers, I just don't know that we'll be able to do that. So, but yes, please let us know your interest. Over here, there was a question.
I'm sorry. It's okay.
Okay. Well, I can't see it.
I was just going to ask about the survey.
Yes.
Is that survey still going on, or is it ended now?
The survey technically is ended, but if you wanted to respond, that's okay. I mean, well, certainly, if you want to do it by phone, sure. Just there's on our website, and I haven't even given the contact info yet, which I should do in a minute. But yeah, you can go on our website, or you can just call us. What will happen is if you call, you'll be transferred to your rear advisor, right, and they can conduct the survey for you. And if you want to do it online, there is a accessible fill-in PDF file online. Unfortunately, there's no way to send it to us electronically, but you could fill it out and throw it in the mail. It has the free matter, which you can fold a piece of paper in half and send it in. So, okay. Okay. Fire away. Right. Eventually, we're hoping that people who are voracious readers, that we can send them out many, many books. I think initially we're probably going to have to put limits, like 5 books at once. And the reason is simply due to the number of copies that we're going to have available. So it's just sort of a housekeeping type of thing. Yeah, but eventually, once cassettes are no longer being produced and the digital production goes up, then sure. This is very sad to say that at this point, NLS has no plans to distribute magazines on digital cartridges. They are simply, their money is all tied up in this. Now, that may happen someday, but because the individual cartridges are so expensive, it's just cost prohibitive. So what can, there are a couple possibilities. One is that you can, if you have the wherewithal, you can download them yourself. Once you have one of these Talking Book players, download it onto a flash cartridge and listen to it that way. Or if you have one of these third-party machines, a Victor Reader Stream or an Icon or a Little Star Icon or soon to be the Plex Talk Pocket, then you could do it that way. And we're not sure yet whether or not it will be cost-effective for us to loan out magazines on cartridges because the demand, if we started doing that, the demand could go through the roof and we'd burn through. I mean, we're only able to order 1,000 cartridges right now, and we're going to go through this really quick, I can tell you. So, and one of the nice yes, right. So with digital cartridges, they would have to be circulated because we can't afford to. And I don't think the NLS could either afford to have people just hang on to them. I know it's. I wish I had happier news for you. No, all cassette production is going to cease the end of 2011, including magazines. I think. Let me find out about that because I seem to remember that that's going to stop. But I hope maybe I'm wrong. Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, you don't have to wait till then. You do it now. Right, okay. No, but once you have one of these machines, sure. If you have a computer, sure. Yeah, if you have a computer, sure. You could. Yeah, sure. Then once you get a digital Talking Book machine, you can start downloading magazines. Listen to them. Yep.
I want to answer two more questions because I want to give everyone a chance to look at the equipment that the tonight.
And I can stick around and answer questions individually, too. Jerry, should I give my contact information? Wait, do I do that now?
Anybody, if you have the A's, Braille Notes, Braille Notes, the old
Well, most people probably already know the phone number, but let me just give you, I'll just repeat it for those who need it. Our website is BTBL, for Braille and Talking Book Library, .ca.gov. So we've simplified the URL. It's much easier now. We have all kinds of information on there. Our newsletter is on there. And some people have asked me. We will be getting another newsletter out within the next few months. We apologize that due to unforeseen circumstances of some staff leaving and budget concerns, we weren't able to get one out for the winter of 08-09 as we had hoped, but hopefully soon. We're working on getting links to other kinds of information up on the site, so it's a work in progress. Phone numbers, toll-free, 1-800-952-5666, anywhere in California. And local in Sacramento, 916-654-0640. You can reach me by just call that number and ask for me if you want to talk to me about stuff. And my email, the library's email, btbl@library.ca.gov. And I usually don't give out my personal email, but since you all are so trustworthy... I know, what am I doing? It's M. Marlin, first initial, last name, library.ca.gov. I will try to, I always answer all emails. I don't always get to them that same day, so be patient. And if it's of a general nature, I may forward it back to the general library staff. So, okay, last couple questions. Well, the National Library Service, the question is about CDs. National Library Service, when they were researching digital media, decided to bypass compact discs. For one thing, they don't hold that much content. So if you've borrowed from the public library, for example, you know that like Harry Potter is on 17 CDs or something. With NLS, it's on one cartridge. I forgot to mention that earlier. Every single NLS book, one cartridge. No, you won't have any more multiple cassette books. Also, there are issues that they discovered in terms of the longevity of having CDs go back and forth in the mail. In Great Britain, for example, people who receive Talking Book service do get their content on CD, but they're allowed to keep them and re-record over them. Some of them will send them back, but the back and forth is just too dicey, so that's the reason. This is a much better, longer-term solution. No more questions? Okay.
Yeah.
One more? Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Great question. The digital Talking Book machines are being manufactured in Japan by the Shinano Kenchi Corporation, and they are being distributed by Plextor, which is in Southern California. The cartridges are being manufactured. Where are they being? They're being distributed by North Star. I think Korea. I have to find out. Anyway. That's where they're coming from. And pleasure's all mine. Pleasure's all mine. Thank you all for your time. And come on up, and hopefully it won't be too much of a mad dash. And I'll show you players and answer any questions, too.